Welcome to LFC Talk at Hotel Tia. The Place Lounge is full of red banners and balloons. We are winners of another trophy. We're all smiling. It was hard work, James Pearce, but we got there in the end. Why couldn't we score? Why did we only hit the woodwork and make us so sweaty and nervy?
Well, Liverpool never do it the easy way, do they? I can't even think of the last major final that the club won where you could put your feet up and enjoy the last 20, 25 minutes. So,
Yeah.
So I think history probably told us that to expect it was going to be a real battle, and that's how it proved. It was very, very similar to the Carabao Cup final against Chelsea back at the end of February. You know, very, you know, clear parallels in the games in terms of so many chances. Two of the best 0-0 draws you'll see anywhere in terms of how open and entertaining they were. I thought Liverpool were absolutely brilliant. First 20, 25 minutes, threatened to blow Chelsea away, didn't capitalise on that dominance. And then, you know, Chelsea are no mugs, are they? And they came back into it and probably gave as good as they got for the rest of the first half and most of that second half. And then I think extra time, both sets of players just looked absolutely shattered. It was a hot afternoon down there. It's been a long, long season for both of them. I think certainly for Liverpool, that was game number 60. And there was a bit of a sense of inevitability. I think in extra time, it was going to go distance and go to penalties. And then it was all about who was going to be able to hold their nerve. And thankfully, it was Liverpool who did that. But plenty of fingernails bitten along the way, I think.
David, Chelsea did defend well, though. They were organised, weren't they?
Yeah, I think, it is curious why, you know, we've had four games now against Chelsea, drawn them all this season. There's been nothing to choose on any of those days. Tuchel does well with his tactics, the way he sets the Chelsea up. Granted as well, I think they raised their game a little bit when they played Liverpool. They're really all fired up, but the tactics really work well, and it causes a lot of problems. That four in midfield, they overrun us. They managed to make some great breaks in behind the defenders, particularly the fullbacks. A couple of nervy moments, actually. James summed up perfectly, but that period, there was a little period in the first half, and then that period just after the half-time break was a little bit worrying. I think they had three reasonable sort of opportunities, and we were lucky to hang on. But once we got through those periods, we were the better team, and on the basis of actually picking up the cup, I thought we were the better side and more deserving of it. Pity, really, in a way. It doesn't mean anything less winning by penalties, but pity we didn't win in a normal circumstance.
But I did think, though, that Liverpool looked just a tad more fit than Chelsea. I mean, they had players down with cramp at the end there. I still thought, you know, if there was a moment, it would have been at the end of the second half, because we did look just a little tad more fit and less sort of puffed out.
I heard one or two people sort of say, oh, the lads look tired. And that's easy to sometimes say that. I didn't really detect that they looked tired. I've seen a lot more tired players at Wembley after 90 minutes than our group appeared. You know, I thought they were, I mean, I think there's no denying Liverpool are a super fit team at the moment. The level of fitness that Jurgen has got them to, I think, stands them in good stead. And you see some of the bursts and the runs from Mane, Diaz late on. Absolutely amazing, I thought. It's a great achievement to, as you say, 60 games. It's an amazing achievement that they're playing at this level so far into the season.
We have a very special guest with us today at this podcast. We've got with us Margaret Pickavant, but most of us know her as Peggy. Peggy's 90 years old, and she's been following the Reds for 77 years and seen all the finals except one, and that was in Kiev because of airfare troubles. Peggy, how was it to watch the game at Wembley? Wasn't it frustrating when they didn't score?
Well, it wasn't frustration, it was annoying. It was annoying because they had the chances. I mean, they were taking the balls in. I mean, you know, you look at them and you think, well, they've run all the length of the ground and they could have gone round the goalie. Instead of that, they go at the goal and the goalie catches it. Where's the mentality gone? They've run it off them. You know, they've run out of mentality by the time they've run up to the goalie. I mean, we saw it on another game that we watched yesterday. A fella could have scored. against Man City. You know, he could have gone round that goalie, couldn't he? And put us in the back of the net.
But
he hit it right
true.
To the goalie.
Yeah.
They panic.
They missed two goals there, like yesterday.
Oh, would it have been amazing if West Ham had won that?
It would have been wonderful, that, wouldn't it?
I have to say, I think I do find it frustrating. You know, Peggy says annoying, but the amount of one-on-one opportunities we miss is... I think it's unbelievable. I don't know what they... I sometimes wonder whether or not they analyse these things and they do anything about it in training. It's not harsh on the players, but it is a feature of our play.
Yeah. When they run the length of the pitch, though, and then hit the post, I could scream. Because it's only inches, isn't it?
But when we came to penalties, James, did you think we would get through, or were you nervous?
No. I didn't think we'd get through the first five penalties, and we missed the last one. I sat and cried because I thought, that's it, we've had it. We've got no Van Dijk there. And what are we going to do now? You know. And then when they only went a couple of penalties through, and the crowd went wild, I said, we've got three more penalties to take. Yes, I was that confused. I thought we had to go for another five. And my son said, Mam, will you stop whinging? The tears was just running down my face. Aww. At the tension, I think. Tension more than anything. Because we were so excited over getting through. Because I didn't think we were going to get through when we missed that penalty.
And then it just exploded in red. Yeah. What a sight it was at Wembley.
It was, honest to God, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's always nervous, isn't it, when it goes to penalties.
I've got to go to Anfield now and try and get a programme.
I'm hoping that
they've got some for on site.
we will sort you a programme.
I do think it was telling before the penalty shootout. There was a real difference between Liverpool and Chelsea in terms of, I think Liverpool already had their order of penalty takers already sorted out. It was all very calm and relaxed. Yeah. And I think Chelsea seemed a bit more fraught, and
they didn't know who Tuchel was going to take.
Yeah, Tuchel was going around still asking who did and who didn't want to take one. And so I think, you know, we always talk about penalties being a lottery, don't we? And it is to a certain degree, because you know, a good penalty is one that it's the back of the net, isn't it? Whatever anyone says, you just have to score. You can find a way if the goalie guesses right. You know, there wasn't an awful lot wrong with Mason Mount's penalty yet. Alisson Becker pulled off, you know, an absolutely world-class save. But I do think part of it does come down to Klopp's attention to detail as well, because this season they've been working with this German company called Neuro 11, who, you know, essentially two neuroscientists based in Potsdam in Germany who specialise in brain training. And this was, you know, people can say, well, hang on, how much did that possibly contribute towards it? But even if it only helped 1%, any of those players who stepped up, it's a benefit, isn't it? And they've been working with the players all the way through the season on just trying to be able to block out that pressure and you know, and obviously, because when you take penalties in training, you can't replicate walking up in a major final with 90,000 people around you. Yeah. You know, the pain in your legs from 120 minutes of playing. But
it's like a relief when it goes in, isn't it? It must be a relief goes in, you know.
Yeah, the fear of missing and... the only one who missed, wasn't it? It was Sadio Mane,
he missed one a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
He missed one in the AFCON final, didn't he? But then scored the decisive penalty in the shootout.
Yeah.
But of course, the difference there was that Mendy, the goalie, they know each other inside out from all the time they've spent together with Senegal. And it was interesting that Klopp actually said afterwards that he took responsibility for that missed penalty, because he said he actually told Mane, whatever way you're thinking of going, go the other way, because you need, this fella knows you inside out. You need to try and outfox him, as it was. It didn't work out. But, you know, it's funny, these finals throw up unlikely heroes, and Kostas Tsimikas was certainly the unlikely hero on the day.
It is a difficult scenario when you are an international teammate. You know, you see it quite often these days.
Did you think the manager might have changed the goalie? Like he did
well,
the last time.
It backfired last time, didn't it? So I think he
backfired because he was a dolly boy, wasn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Kepa. So it wasn't a massive surprise he didn't change at this time, I think. Though Kepa is a good penalty stopper,
he never saved one penalty, that fella, when he changed them, did he?
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tricky situation, as James said again. I've heard a little bit, you know, some comments on the radio, even this morning, sort of saying it's a lottery. I don't believe it's a total lottery. It is about managing.
It is about
managing the moment. And you know, say, well, the goalkeeper goes the right way, then that's a lottery element. I still do think it is. You know,
it's all these little
points that. You know, Jürgen is very... we were all looking for the cutting edge, but Jürgen is very sort of adept at thinking of all these little nuances that are in the game now. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a lottery. I think credit to Liverpool.
It's all in your brain, I think. You've got to work it out, yeah?
Stay cold. But then, I mean, I still feel exhausted as a fan on this Monday. And then you still know that the team is now packing their bags.
Ready
and,
to go on
fly.
Holiday?
No, they're flying to Southampton. No. There's another game waiting tomorrow. And, you know, yeah. We still have a chance. It's not very big, but we still have a chance. I mean, if City...
You've got to score a lot of goals.
Yeah, loses the last one against Gerrard, or we score a bucket loads of goals.
A lot has been said about the... You know, the coincidence of Stevie managing the team that plays the final game against Manchester City. I mean, is it written in the stars? So many people have pinned a lot of hope on it. But I think after the points we dropped against Tottenham, I'm tempted to say a lot of people thought, that's it. That was the crucial moment. But here we are, still fighting, two games to go.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened. I mean, I wouldn't mind to see if we could replace one or two of the centre halves in Villa's lineup. I'd feel a little bit more confident because I'm not overly convinced by Villa's defence. But let's hope.
Is there anyone in the Man City game that you admire more than anybody else in the team? Because I love that fella that scores the goals.
De Bruyne.
I think he's lovely.
I think De Bruyne is the best player in the world, personally.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the world.
I mean, he got all them four goals the other night. You know, he must be thinking the same as we're thinking. We've got to keep on top.
Unfortunately, he was a Liverpool fan as a youngster.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame how... You know,
it's one of those things, isn't it?
We missed a good one in De Bruyne. I think he's tremendous.
I do too. I love him. I admire him.
But now when we go to Southampton, they haven't had a very good ride recently. They have they've lost seven out of the last matches. They are just like sinking on the table. They've gone from 9th to the 15th on the table. So there is a chance of lots of goals. You never know, though, because they do make, you know, surprising results as well. I mean, they've stolen points from City both home and away this season. They beat Arsenal this season. So you can't underestimate anything, can you?
You can't take anything for granted.
They're a strange team.
Got to work for it.
Yeah.
They are a strange team, Southampton. I mean, but again, I think at this stage of the season, you want to play teams that have got nothing to go for, because no matter what players or managers say, it does make a difference in terms of motivation when, you know, that their players will already be thinking about, you know, but come the weekend, they will be off on their holidays when Liverpool are starting to prepare for a Champions League final. So from that respect, it's a good game for Liverpool to have. But I must admit, you know, that I think Southampton won't have played for 11, 12 days. And that does play into their hands because, you know, Klopp was saying at his press conference earlier on today, he will have to make changes because it's such a quick turnaround. Yeah, you know, on the back of 120 minutes at Wembley and, you know, obviously getting back incredibly late on the, you know, early hours of Sunday, and then, you know, recovery day, you know, it's only one day, and then they're flying down to the south coast. So we've been talking all season about how strong the depth of the squad is, and that's what you'll have to rely on. I think, you know, we'll see people like Joel Matip and Joe Gomez and Tsimikas come into the back four, probably Milner and Curtis Jones in midfield, Firmino and Jota will come in further up the pitch as well. And it's just about, you know, I think probably too much to expect for it to be a free-flowing contest, I think. And to be honest, with City drawing, it kind of, goal difference isn't really going to come into it now anyway. I think Liverpool just have to win any type of win. A scrappy 1-0 will be fine. Get that gap down to a single point. And then they know then that if they win on the final day and City don't beat Villa, then you know the then we'll have
miracles
one hell of a
miracles do happen.
They do happen. And do you know what, Villa gave Liverpool two really good games this season. You know, Liverpool had to fight to get past them on both occasions, and yeah, you have got, as David said, you know, the Steven Gerrard narrative. You know, it was the one prize that he couldn't win during his time at Liverpool. Maybe he could play a big part in helping Liverpool win it years after he's walked away from the club. And then you've got Philip Coutinho and Danny Ings as well. You know, it's you do wonder a little bit of you whether it's written in the stars. But then, you know, when you actually take a step back from it, you think City are such an unbelievable team. And when was the last time they dropped points two games in a row? But yeah, while there's a chance, you just have to keep going flat out for it.
Have to keep praying.
Yeah.
And we can't complain, though. I mean, we've already won the double. We are playing in the Champions League final. And if you look back in history, with 86 points, with two games to play, we could have won the Premier League 9 times in history. We've done so well. If we win against Southampton, it will be the second most away wins in a season. It's only the season when we won with 14 away wins, which is better. You know, it's only happened 3 times before in history that you've gone and done 13 away wins. Well, plus that one time we got 14. So it's been an amazing season. So it's hard to be disappointed. Even though
you can't be disappointed.
It is tough, isn't it? When it's so close.
Even when we don't get anything, I'm not disappointed. I love watching Liverpool.
It's been some season, though, Peggy. The team has put the smile on our faces so many times.
Yeah. Still cheer them on.
So we can't complain. But David, do you think there is a tiny little chance?
Yeah, of course there's a chance. While you know, no game is a given. You know, it's great that. Well, not great so much, but of all the teams I'd pick to play at this stage of the season, Southampton would probably be one of the couple who I'd choose, because James points out they are a little bit in holiday mode. The fact that they haven't played for 11 days in some ways might be a handicap, actually, that they, you know, they've sort of to get back to the intensity that they need. But I suppose we've been in this situation, not exactly the situation, but when we played Palace a few years ago and we were hunting for goals, we got to remember at the end of the day, a win is a win. A win is the first thing, priority. We have had our opportunities, I think, earlier in the season to bolster our the goal difference. Better, I think we've missed opportunities in that sense. But first and foremost, tomorrow night we get a win, and then and you see what happens on Saturday. Wolves will be easy actually for ourselves.
I think Mo Salah lost his goal touch, hasn't he? He hasn't been scoring like he did,
no.
Is he? And so he's going to be ready fighting for goals because he needs to get up over the other fella.
Well, he wants to win the Golden Boot, doesn't he? He's one ahead, isn't he, at the moment of the Golden Boot. He's very focused in that sense, but he hasn't really looked like scoring, actually.
No, he hasn't, hopefully. But I don't think he's fully fit, to be quite honest, because when he came off after the cup got presented, he was limping. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's fully fit.
I don't think we'll see him at Southampton. He's got a slight groin problem, so he said afterwards he'd be fine for Paris for the Champions League final, but I think
as soon as they rested him at Southampton.
Yeah, I think they will rest him at Southampton. You've got enough options, haven't you? I think obviously Jota and Firmino, potentially even Origi, if you want to rest Diaz, Armani as well. So, I think it's a night when you've got to rely on your squad players to a large degree.
And talking about goal difference, though, I mean, City really sort of ate away on the goal difference exactly against Wolves. So, I mean, if they won 1-5 away, why can't we win a 6-0 home against them on the last game of the season?
But
why not?
We were well ahead on the goal difference a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so we need to step up now.
Until Mo Salah stopped scoring, So we were well up on the goal difference.
Yeah.
So we've thrown that away, haven't we, really?
Yeah. I think City, certainly before West Ham, they'd won 5 in a row, I think. Yeah. They put 20 on the goal difference, I think, across those 5 games. So that
unbelievable.
But I don't think goal difference will come into it now, anyway. It will come down to points, and it will, you know, obviously the nightmare scenario really is you end up being pipped by a single point again, and you've got a scenario where you've lost 2 title races in the space of 3 or 4 years by such a narrow margin. But yeah, you can't. That's, you know, you can't be remotely critical of, you know, to end up with, you know, 90 odd points. You can't ask for any more than that. I mean, it's, you know, without Liverpool, there wouldn't have been any title races for the last 5 years, would it? It just would have been like the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich winning it by a mile every single year.
It's only been two losses this season, which is amazing. I mean, that's a fantastic credit to the players. Too many unfortunate silly draws. I mean, draws are always silly, aren't they? More often than not, they're silly because you feel as though you've had up the opportunities. But they've set each other. You know, they've each complimented each other, City and Liverpool. That they've raised the bar continually to compete with each other.
And created the best league in the world right now, you know, with these two teams playing on that kind of level. It's really bringing so much to Premier League. It really is. But so we can't really be disappointed, but we can still hope. We will never, ever, ever give up as fans, over.
Don't give up. No.
That'd be a nice little present for your 91st birthday as well.
Be a brilliant final, won't it?
Oh, yeah. When we go to Paris. So we have something to look forward to, no matter what. Mm. And we can't forget that, you know, playing for the Champions League trophy, it is the biggest trophy you can win in the biggest game of club football. Well, the biggest sport in the world, basically. So we just have to look upwards and onwards. James, it's been such an intense season. You've been writing away for the Athletics. What's been the highlight for you this season?
Oh, so many, haven't there? I think, when you look at the two humiliations of Manchester United, they'd have to be up there. You know, obviously you put it in the context of a very average Man United team, but, you know, I think having seen Liverpool suffer at the hands of United for so much of the Premier League era, to see them do what they did to them at Old Trafford and then repeat the trick at Anfield recently, that has to be right up there. You know, I think of the Merseyside derby at Goodison, when again, you know, to go and embarrass one of your biggest rivals in that
got
kind of manner.
Got beat again this week, didn't they?
Yeah. So, it's just, you know, Liverpool have broken so many records this season. Most goals Liverpool have ever scored in a season. Most wins across all competitions ever in a season. You know, you think of...
So many records broken.
Yeah. They've just been incredible in every single department. I think... You know, the PFA team of the year would be interesting when that's announced, because, you know, you could make a strong case for Liverpool having probably 7, 8 or even 9 players in that, with, you know, Alisson again, you know, just, I thought he was absolutely immense at Wembley on Saturday, and it's actually a year ago today since he scored that header at West Brom. And when you think...
Was fantastic.
Liverpool was at as a club back then, you know, seconds away from essentially having to settle for Europa League qualification, and it looked like they were going to end up having to take a point against a relegated West Brom team, and then Alisson scores that header. And if anyone had said anyone had said then that 12 months later, you know, Liverpool would have two cups in the bag already, be taking the title race down to the final week and looking ahead towards the Champions League final, you would never have believed it, would you? So, there's been, you know, so many players have gone to the next level this season. You know, recruitment's been spot on in terms of Konate, I thought, was exceptional at Wembley on the weekend. He's been a great addition to the squad. He's got better and better. Diaz, I think, has just blown everyone away, hasn't he? With, you know, someone who... You know,
he's wonderful.
I mean, when they signed him in January, we knew that the plan was initially to sign him in the summer. But because of Tottenham's interest, they had to bring that forward. And Porto obviously needed the money. But, you know, you thought, well, Diaz will have 4 months to get his feet under the table and play a bit part role and get used to it.
Nice,
but the biggest compliment you could play him is, you know, it's not even a debate, is it, whether he starts the Champions League final. You know, Jota's scored, 21 goals this season, but he's probably going to be stuck on the bench because Diaz has been that good. So, and I think the other thing I've loved about this season is just time and time again, squad players have stepped up and delivered when they've had opportunities, and we haven't really seen that from Liverpool before, that depth on this kind of level. You look at some of the players now who aren't even making the bench on match days, and even go back to January with the Africa Cup of Nations, you know, we were all fearful then, oh, that will be the time when the season unravels. How can we possibly cope without Salah, Mane and Keita to a lesser degree? But, you know, suddenly Minamino stepped up and started scoring important goals. Oxlade-Chamberlain had a little little run then when he did well. So, yeah, it's just been probably been my favourite season ever, you know, either supporting or writing about the club.
Well, we can't stop a podcast on a better note than that. James Pearce and Peggy and David Fairclough, thank you so much for joining this week's LFC Talk at Hotel Tia.
It's been a pleasure.
It's such an honour having you on.
It's been a privilege. Thank you.
And a very happy birthday on the 29th of May. And I hope you will at least celebrate another cup. And maybe, we won't say might get us a dessert.
Yeah.
So until next time, it's going to be such an exciting week. Hold on. It's
for
right.
Another week.
Yeah. You'll never walk alone.
No. Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.